I'm very happy to welcome everyone who's here, coming out to Mass on a Tuesday morning. Some have taken a little time off from work or from school to be here. Some have made every effort to get here. This is a gathering of the spiritual children of Father Francis, our father, our founder. So this is something like a family reunion also. I see people I haven't seen in a while. It's very good to see everybody. And we're also happy to have the deacon with us. I see Phil Young made it, still recovering from her fall. I see actually many people, even some I haven't seen since I got back from my trip. It's a joyful occasion for us. It's a death anniversary, but it's a celebration of life. Now, if this were an ordinary Tuesday morning, we would certainly focus on the scriptures. Today's gospel presents Jesus resolutely determined to go to Jerusalem. He hardens his face to accomplish his mission, and nothing will stop him. Not the inhospitality of the Samaritans, and not the vengeance of James and John, and nothing is going to stop him. He's going to go to Jerusalem, not to destroy, but to sacrifice himself, to accomplish the victory of sacrificial love. So that's the gospel. And in the first reading, we hear Job mourning the losses and grieving that he's even alive at all. He's been broken by his many sufferings, and he's reduced to longing for death. And again, if this was an ordinary Tuesday morning, we would certainly focus on today's great saint, Saint Therese, the one who taught the church the greatness of the little way of spiritual childhood. She's a doctor of the church because of what she teaches us. But for us who are gathered here in this shrine, we're not only celebrating an ordinary Tuesday, which of course is also extraordinary. We're not only focusing on pondering the word and honoring the saints. We are also celebrating the 17th death anniversary of our father founder, Father Francis, represented in this group of statues by the figure on the far right, the one wearing the stole. Father Francis Marino, who founded the Anuim community in 1975. So we could say Father Francis was resolutely determined to accomplish his mission. He's a disciple of Jesus Christ. He followed in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, and he didn't let anything stop him either. If anyone knows or remembers Father Francis in his prime, he was a force to be reckoned with. He was a very powerful preacher and a very determined person. He had been given a gift, and he was determined to give that gift, the gift of what we call the Anuim spirituality. So we could say this gospel, which is about Jesus Christ, also is about anyone who is committed to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. All of us are supposed to be resolutely determined to accomplish the mission God has given to us. And today we celebrate Father Francis, because he has accomplished his mission, and we're the fruit of it. This whole place is the fruit of it. All of us and everything we see here is fruit of Father Francis. Father Francis, though, was also a man of suffering. And so today's reading from Job could also be applied to him. Father, who experienced many losses, many setbacks, many illnesses, and was often quite discouraged that all his efforts to give the gift seemed to be fruitless. You can imagine him pondering this reading from Job and saying, yes, why is this? Why is it that I've been given a life full of suffering? And then, since it's the feast of St. Therese, we can certainly connect the spirituality given to Father Francis to the spirituality given to the church through St. Therese. Father Francis didn't speak so much about the little way, but he did speak about poverty of spirit, about the Anuim way, which is the same. That way of dependence on God, that way of confident trust in God, that way of continuing the journey based on God's mercy and grace, not on ourselves. That's St. Therese, and that's Father Francis. We can celebrate the gifts we have received through Father Francis, the call to enter into the liturgy, to ponder the liturgical word, to enter into the inner life of the church, as we see portrayed in the icon of Our Lady of the Liturgical Life, which is here displayed in this shrine. We can celebrate that we have been, that our own identity has been revealed to us more deeply when we see the Anuum gathered at the foot of the cross. That's where we are, that's where we're called to be, not only receiving the great mercy of God flowing from the heart of Jesus, but also participating in the work of Jesus by uniting our own sufferings to his. And we can give praise to God for the gift of knowing that we can look upon him whom we have pierced, so that the love of Christ in hearts may be revealed. So all of these things are Anuum spirituality, and I have spoken about them many times to all of you. In fact, this is the 17th death anniversary, so I probably preached on all of these 17 times already. For this morning, I want to say something that I haven't said before, because I didn't know it before. Something a little new about the journey of Father Francis. I think this is a good occasion to bring this up. Father Francis was 50 years old when he founded Anuum Community in 1975. So he had been a priest for years, and he had been journeying for years, striving to give the gift for years, and nothing seemed to catch. We're going to celebrate next year, 2025, our 50th anniversary as a community, our golden anniversary. And we're going to celebrate next year the 100th birthday of Father Francis, April 23. So because of those jubilees that are coming up, I have had in my mind, I'd like to learn a little more about Father's life journey. So when I was in the States last several weeks, I did a little research with the help of other Anuum members into some of his journey, especially the part, the pre-Anuum part. And one of the things that's very striking about Father Francis is he was absolutely consistent in his proclamation of the gift. Before Anuum, after Anuum, from the earliest days, he's talking about liturgical life, he's talking about Our Lady of the Liturgical Life, he's talking about pondering in the heart like Mary, and all these things. And he has so many, we have file cabinet drawers full of his sketches and drawings and circles and diagrams of the liturgical life. So as I did this research, I ran across the name Sister Immaculate Heart, whom Father met in 1965 as he was preaching liturgical retreats. And Sister Immaculate Heart, who was a contemplative nun, a sister adorer of the precious blood in Brooklyn, New York, she felt, before she met Father Francis, she felt called to found a contemplative community on some of the ideals of the Vatican Council and of the liturgy. And when she heard Father Francis preaching, she said, this is the spirituality that should inform the new community. Now, I had heard something about that from Father, and his usual way of describing it was, he worked closely with Sister Immaculate Heart, and it came to nothing. It was one of his many discouraging failures before Anuum. So I said, well, maybe I can learn more about Father Francis if I look up Sister Immaculate Heart. And I found a clipping in his files of Father speaking to a group of two nuns and a laywoman. So very small chapel and a very small occasion. And I said, well, where is this place? They finally tracked it down, South Bend, Indiana. So I called the Diocese of South Bend, or Fort Wayne, South Bend. And I said, I'm doing research on our founder, Father Francis. He's associated with this Sister Immaculate Heart, and she founded a community, or tried to found a community, the Handmaids of the Most Holy Trinity. And eventually I spoke to the archivist of the diocese, and she said, oh, that community still has a house here in the diocese. I was shocked to learn it, the Handmaids of the Most Holy Trinity. But then she told me, they're down to one sister, and they don't have a web page. And I don't have any email contact. All I have is the postal mailing address. But she gave me the name, Sister Mary Emmanuel, the last handmaid of the Most Holy Trinity in South Bend. So I looked her up online, and it turned out she has a landline. So I called the phone number, and left a message. She called me back. This is amazing to me. This was amazing to me. This sister, Mary Emanuel, she's turning 87, I think today or tomorrow, I think October 2nd, she's turning 87 years old. She's alone in the monastery that was founded back in 1968. She joined in 1970, so she knew the foundress, Sister Immaculate Heart, very well. She lived with her for years and years. And she knew Father Francis. She met Father Francis in the early 1970s through Sister Immaculate Heart. And she even saw Father Francis in Rome in 1975. So this sister, Sister Mary Emanuel, was full of stories, especially about her own community and her own foundress, but also about Father Francis. So she told so many stories. And then I looked again in Father Francis's records, and I found the constitutions, that's like the statutes, the rules that guide the community that was founded by Sister Immaculate Heart. And in the beginning, in the introduction to the constitutions, it says, we consider Father Francis Marino our father founder. I didn't even know it. But I thought the community never started. And here it is, it still exists. And they consider Father Francis the father founder, Sister Immaculate Heart, the foundress. Well, the diocese didn't tell me any more than that. But after talking to Sister Mary Emanuel, what struck me was this sister, who is following the spirituality of Our Lady of the Liturgical Life, who's pondering the liturgical word every day, pondering in her heart like Mary, whose spiritual life is built on this very same spirituality that has been given to us, she's our sister. She's like our older sister. And I said, this is something like what happens when people find out that their father had a first wife, had a child that they never knew about, and so suddenly people discover they have a sister or a brother, a relative that they didn't know existed. This woman is our sister, has the same father that we have. So I'm delighted to be able to discover that, and that's what I'm sharing with you. I've never told this story to anyone because I didn't even know it. Now, what can we learn from this? One thing I would like to take as a lesson from this is that a charism, a spiritual gift, which is what Father received and what he handed on to us, a charism is much more fruitful than any physical or temporal gift. If Father Francis had given Sister Mary Emanuel $1,000, it would all have been spent years ago. I mean, she's been in the monastery for 54 years. If he had given her a huge quantity of food, it would all have been eaten years ago. If he had given her books to read, she would have read them years ago. But instead, he gave a spirituality, a way to enter into the inner life of the church. And that is still going on in this 87-year-old sister in South Bend. And this is the gift given to us too. A spirituality is much more precious because it doesn't wear out. It doesn't expire. It doesn't get stolen. It's an ongoing, life-giving principle, a grace. And so seeing that this is still giving life in South Bend, yes, the community is dying out. She's the last of the handmaids of the Holy Trinity. But who knows how many people have been touched by that monastery and however many sisters were there. Who knows how many people have been served? How many of the poor have gone there? How many people have gone to their chapel and prayed? How many people have learned about the spiritual life from that community? Who knows? Certainly many, because 54 years is a long time to be committed to the service of God. Well, who knows the fruitfulness of our own faithfulness to the charism? Who knows? We can't measure it in financial terms or in quantitative terms. Grace can't be grasped that way. The key to making grace fruitful is to give what we receive. To give what we receive. To continue to allow that gift to flow into us and through us into others. And that's what I would like to take as a lesson for today's, for Father's 17th death anniversary. That all of us, an encouragement to all of us to keep up the journey, to keep receiving the gift of life from the Word, from the sacraments, from Our Lady, from the liturgy. Keep receiving and keep living and giving. keep living and giving it, because there's no measuring the fruitfulness of it. Not only for our own personal lives or for our families, but for the world, for peace in the world, for the overcoming of injustices and corruption, for the victory over the terrible sufferings like Job suffered. We have to be resolutely determined, like Jesus in the gospel, resolutely determined to continue our mission with God's help, with confidence in Him, in fact, with absolute trust in Him, as St. Therese would say, so that the grace will bear the fruit that God intends. And that's what we're doing today, celebrating the gift given to us through Father Francis, and also participating in the gift and sharing the gift for our good, for the good of our community, of our families, and for the good of the whole world. Thanks be to God.